this is John Marks, and welcome to another edition of Audio Bulletin from Cops Alive. I am very honored today to have as my guest Captain Dan Willis, who is retired from the La Mesa, California Police Department. He is the author of a brand new book called Bulletproof Spirit, which I'm very excited to share with you. And please help me in welcome Dan Willis. Welcome, Dan. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, John. It's my pleasure.
Dan, you served a 26-year career and have written a book. You're doing some training, all kinds of great, exciting stuff for all of our brothers and sisters out there behind the badge. I think this is very, very much needed. Tell me a little bit about your background and how you got started on this, and then we'll talk about the book and all the things you're doing.
Well, I served at La Mesa Police for 26 years, and most of my career was in detectives, crimes of violence, investigating child molest, homicides, some cold case homicides, and I was also a SWAT commander. And you know, during my career, not only did I suffer from some of the cases I worked and some of the things that I experienced, you know, I saw so many of my colleagues struggling through PTSD and depression and other issues and problems, and we've just have never really had any training to help us kind of cope and be more resilient and deal with all the negative adverse effects of the job. And what really culminated with me was in 2010, I went to the FBI National Academy in Quantico, Virginia, and I took a course on emotional survival. And that first day there in the class, we were going around introducing ourselves and saying why we signed up for that class. And there was a police chief from a small town in Texas, and he introduced himself. He said, "I took this class because I feel I've been a victim of my profession," and he started crying right there in front of everybody. And that really hit home with me of looking back over my own career and what I've seen in others, thinking there has to be something that we can do to promote emotional survival and wellness strategies so we're no longer losing so many people to suicide and PTSD. So that was kind of the genesis of writing the book, and since I've retired in December, I'm traveling around providing teaching on how we can proactively do things to protect, heal, and nurture our spirit.
Excellent. And let me just say thank you very much, because you and I are in complete agreement. We've all suffered. I think there are many of our brothers and sisters out there that are still suffering in silence. There aren't enough voices out there being raised to change this problem. And so I commend you very much for what you're doing. We have got to continue to push, because I think anybody that has the courage to take the oath and put on a badge, wherever they are in the world, they deserve better than what I see many of them getting. And your story is very true to what I've seen as well. So tell me a little bit about the genesis of the book. Let's talk our way through the book. I have one sitting here in front of me. It's excellent. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts, and then, you know, maybe make some suggestions for what people can be doing.
Sure. You know, the whole emphasis of the book is to try to do something about the number one cause of death for police officers every year, which is suicide. And we lose nearly 200 people by their own hand, far more than are killed through assaults or die in car collisions or heart attacks. And we have about 120,000 officers going to work every day with symptoms of PTSD, most of them not knowing what they have and trying to just deal and cope through it. So the book kind of begins with recognizing some warning signs about maybe your spirit truly is suffering, and the signals that you're not constructively processing stress or dealing with trauma in a constructive way. So there are several warning signs, which we can talk about if you'd like. And then we go into being self-aware, learning to understand how the job is adversely affecting you, because if you're not aware of how you're being affected, you're not going to be able to do anything about it. So it's really important for us to solicit feedback from our loved ones, you know, asking them to let us know when we're not ourselves or if they see us changing, because usually we're the last to know. And what happened with me with my ex-wife is I come home one day and she says, "You know, you've turned into someone I don't recognize anymore." And, of course, when you hear that, it's usually a little too late. So
yeah.
the emphasis was what can we do, and I describe over 40 wellness strategies throughout the book of the things we can do that will protect and heal us and help us deal in a more constructive way with what we deal with every day.
Excellent. Yeah, we don't need to go through a whole long list. I think if people are listening, they probably already are maybe tuned into this, but give us a couple of warning signs and let's talk from there. Let's talk about what they can do.
Sure. Well, one of them, and this was what was so profound with me, was something that I call being emotionally dead inside. Mm-hmm. You know, the job takes such a toll on us, we tend to shut down emotionally, and that leads to us not being able to feel and be connected and engaged with people, certainly not as much as we used to be before becoming a police officer. So I realized this about 7 or 8 years on the job, is I just had this realization I really had no feelings. I mean, I wasn't happy, I wasn't sad, I wasn't connected with my wife or kids, I didn't feel engaged or involved with them at all. And that was really a wake-up call for me, because that's not normal, and that can be devastating in our personal relationships. So, there's just a sense of being emotionally dead is one of the main signs that we're not processing stress effectively. Another one is sleep problems. There's been a study of over 5,000 cops that show that most officers get 3 or 4 hours of sleep a day, and we really need at least 8. Be able to normally function and deal with things. So if you're only getting a few hours of sleep, I mean, that's going to be devastating, not only on your personal life, but to how effective you are at the job, about how you're able to be resilient and cope with stress, and it affects so many aspects of our lives. And again, that's just another sign of not processing the stress from our profession.
Yeah, I absolutely can identify with all that. In some of our training, we even talk about, you know, our families are probably our first line of defense. They're going to start seeing these things before we do, and we have to be listening to what they're saying to us. And we talk about taking care of one another, but frequently in law enforcement, we tend to look the other way. And all of those warning signs are probably there. We just have to start tuning ourselves and tuning our organizations into actually alerting to them early so that we can actually do something. So a good
absolutely.
Job on that.
Absolutely. I mean, that's just absolutely critical to be aware of what's going on and getting that positive feedback. And then, you know, for us, too, it's important for us to realize we can't be cops 24 hours a day. I know we can't turn that off, but we can certainly I liken it to like a dimmer switch. And when we come home and walk through that door, we should be able to kind of dim that police officer mentality down and tune into being a father, being a spouse, being active and involved and engaged with them. I mean, that's absolutely essential.
Yeah. I notice in the book you talk about the FBI's BESTOW program and the concepts, and you mentioned the NA class. I noticed you mentioned Sam Feimster in the book. Was that the class you're talking about?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. You want to talk about that a little bit? I was going to commend you for, it's obvious to me in the book, you've got a couple of references to spirituality, which takes an awful lot of courage. A lot of people in our profession don't want to go there, and they're afraid of that concept. And so I commend you for doing that.
Well, thanks, John. The class really was so inspiring and motivating for me. I mean, Sam Feimster is just an incredible instructor. And the whole concept of BESTOW is, BESTOW stands for Beyond Survival Toward Officer Wellness. And what it really is a philosophy that says it's no longer good enough to train our people that if you go home and you're physically safe, that was a good day. That doesn't work anymore. Because if you go home, you're physically safe, but you're drinking just to be able to relax or just be able to talk to your wife or to try to get some sleep, If you're completely dysfunctional and disengaged with everyone, you're not well. So the concept of BESTOW is to focus in on the spirit. You know, traditional training in law enforcement has always been with our mind and our body. You know, they teach us the laws and how to deal with things and certain procedures. They tell us to stay in physical shape, but they do absolutely nothing to address the most important part of us, the one thing that makes us human, and that's our spirit. And it's our spirit that is our ability to cope, to be resilient. It's what drives us to want to devote our life to public service. And it's just absolutely essential to our overall well-being and health. So the whole emphasis of the Bestow training is to focus on the spirit. And part of that is you know, spiritual wellness, you know, whatever your beliefs are and your character, and tuning into why you want to be a police officer. You know, it should be the best job in the world. We protect and give life to people, but so often our life gets depleted from doing that. And there's so much that we can do to prevent that.
Yeah, I've heard Sam's class, and I've read a number of the articles he published way back when. I know he's retired now, and he teaches his own programs. You know, you obviously are very tuned into that. The title of the book is Bulletproof Spirit. I don't know whether you've read Kerry Friedman's Spiritual Survival for Law Enforcement, but there's more and more discussion on this topic, and it's so critical. So keep up the good work.
Yes, I have read that, and one of the chapters in the book I have is Faith and Service, mm-hmm. and it can be so powerful to be able to connect with, if you do happen to have a faith and believe in a power that is greater than you. I mean, that does so much to help us cope with all the evil that we see, yeah. and to stay positive and to connect with a source that can give us meaning and purpose to what we do. And really our spiritual wellness deals with just our overall sense of our humanity and serving our fellow man and trying to make a positive difference and to help people.
Yeah. I absolutely agree. Now, you talked about over 40 strategies. I know one of the chapters in the book is survival lessons. Do you want to share any of that with us?
Yes, the survival lessons, that was a study that was commissioned by the San Diego Police Department. Mm-hmm. In 2011, San Diego PD was really in turmoil. They had two officers that were murdered in the line of duty. They had a detective that was murdered off duty. They had two suicides, and they had about 9 or 10 officers who were arrested from things from sexual assault on duty to fixing tickets. So they commissioned this study where they interviewed, you know, hundreds of their officers about, you know, what is going on. What do you think are the reasons why cops are having problems and are getting themselves in trouble? So from that study, I write about all the great advice that these frontline officers give about what is needed to emotionally survive this job. And it's really, really critical information of things that we might be aware of but aren't really tuned into or practicing.
Great. Yeah, I would like to give a little shout-out to Captain Sarah Crichton and Sergeant Todd Bassett from San Diego. I think they have done a tremendous job in building a wellness program that any agency could be proud of, and I appreciate you, you know, really focusing in on that, because there are a lot of agencies out there that need help, and we need role models. There's no reason to reinvent the wheel in our profession. We need to be collaborating and growing off of one another. And you know, this profession cannot be competitive. It has to be collaborative. And they're doing some great stuff there.
They've done an incredible job, and from that situation, they're now the leaders in San Diego County in wellness. And they've really taken the forefront and have done a great, great job. And now in San Diego County, as far as I know, it's the first county in the country where every agency, state, federal, and local, meet once a quarter purely for wellness, survival, and wellness issues within the law enforcement community. And that was all instigated by them. So they really are doing a tremendous job out there.
Excellent. In the book, and I don't mean to keep leading you, you can take this wherever you want to go. The book, you talk about a number of things that agencies can do, like a chaplain's program. You talk about family support. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
The chaplain program, I feel, is really essential. If an agency has a chaplain that is really tuned in to the officers, who's accepted by them, that they offer such a tremendous resource for their emotional survival. I mean, our chaplain at La Mesa has done just incredible work. And the great thing about chaplains is their sole purpose for being there is to assist us with whatever we need, and that's it. And our chaplain's been used to, you know, go to an officer's house who's been injured and make meals for them. She's been called out in the middle of the night to take care of a homeless mother with kids that didn't have anywhere to go. All the visits to hospitals and homes and just on and on and on, all the great things she does when she comes out on ride-alongs to assist and help with officers. And on top of all that, everything an officer says to a chaplain is legally 100% confidential. So a chief of police could never haul in the chaplain and order them to say, hey, what did you guys talk about? So, I mean, our officers love it when she comes out on a ride-along because they use it as 12 hours of free marital counseling most of the time. But they really do offer a tremendous service.
How about family support?
The family support I write a lot about in the book. It's often really overlooked, but it's the most essential component, I feel, of our emotional survival. We really need to develop that nurturing from our spouse and our family. Without that, we're just kind of on our own, and it's usually not going to end up very well. So there's many things that a spouse can do to help nurture us. One of the things is to create a stress-free home as much as they can. You know, when we come home after 10 or 12 hours of dealing with the world's problems, we don't want to come into a place where, you know, everything's all out of control and there's problems, stress, and issues. So they can really tremendously help us out by creating a stress-free home and really valuing the precious time we do have together. Because, you know, unlike any other profession, we miss the weekends, we're away at nights, and all the overtime and everything. So, you know, our time really needs to be spent nurturing our relationship instead of, you know, fighting or having problems and issues. And also the training that I was coordinating at La Mesa PD was really trying to get the families involved with the emotional survival training that we offer the officers. And you know, that's really critical because a wife can totally undercut unknowingly everything that the department is trying to do to assist and promote emotional survival. As an example, we had an officer involved in a fatal shooting, and first thing that happened when he came home that night was the wife was extremely angry and said, you better not ever put me in that situation where I could have been a single mother again. And, of course, that officer was devastated, but, you know, she didn't know any better. She was just speaking out of fear. And part of our training is, you know, what to do and what not to do to support your law enforcement spouse, what's helpful, what are your resources, and really get them involved in the training. It'd be really important.
And then you also have a chapter on peer support, so let's talk about that, because I really think that's critical for us. Is, you know, this is no longer a profession of lone wolves. We have got to be team players. We have got to support one another. I think all the wellness concepts you're talking about are cumulative, and we are only as strong as our weakest link. So let's talk about peer support, because I think that's amazingly powerful.
Sure. Peer support is absolutely vital. I mean, we are inundated with all of this protecting and serving the community. And, you know, we rarely see as part of our community we're protecting and serving our own members, you know, our brothers and sisters, that we actually depend on them for our life and our safety and well-being. So it's just absolutely essential for agencies to have a well-functioning peer support team, which are trusted, experienced officers or dispatchers, civilian employees as well, who not only look out and care for officers and kind of look to see if someone might be having an issue and reaching out to them, but also having that resource for officers to seek out someone who is going to understand what they're experiencing, what they're going through, like no one else can. So they're really essential for a functioning organization. And I like to tell this story. We had an officer involved in a shooting, and he killed this guy, and he was extremely distraught over this. Actually, a whole squad shot this guy, but this officer was one that suffered the most from it, because he actually confronted the kids, a five-year-old girl who said, "Is my daddy okay?" after he just killed her dad. And he was really traumatized by that. But the peer support team really kicked in, and they reached out. They were contacting him every few hours, contacting his wife. "Hey, how are you? Do you need anything from us?" Reaching out to them, going and visiting him. Kind of a long story short, he credits what the peer support did for him to saving his career. He says, "There's absolutely no way I'd be a police officer if it wasn't for the peer support team and them looking out for me and taking care of me." He said, "I probably wouldn't be married because I was really having problems in my relationship, and you guys were there for me." And then he follows up saying, "I can't say this for sure, but I probably wouldn't even be here because I was going down a really dark road, and I might have ended up killing myself. But you guys helped me through that." So that's just a great testament of how powerful and impactful a really good peer support team can be.
Yeah, powerful stuff. What have I missed? What else do we need to know about the book? And then let's talk a little bit about what you're doing now.
Sure. Well, I want to talk a little bit about PTSD.
Okay.
And just kind of mention that there are so many misunderstandings about it. And I want people to realize that PTSD is not a weakness. It's not about what's wrong with you. It's just totally about what happened to you. And trauma and acute stress affects everyone totally differently, totally out of your control. And what really happens is your mind is processing things, you know, continually as we go about life, and we get involved in a traumatic incident, and the brain's ability to process that gets injured. And it really is an injury to your brain's ability to deal with something, to process it and put it in its proper perspective. And that's why the incident kind of gets stuck in our minds, and we relive it over and over and over again and feel all those emotionally crippling feelings and nightmares and panic attacks and everything else. Is because your brain is kind of stuck. It's been injured. So there are really very effective treatments for PTSD. One of them is called EMDR. And what that actually does is it helps to heal that processing ability, so the brain deals with it and kind of files it away. You'll always remember the incident, but when you do, you won't be crippled by it. And a great story about EMDR and how effective it is an officer from San Diego PD that I know. He was involved in a fatal shooting, and he was fine for several weeks. And what happens with PTSD so often is it could be a couple months even before you start actually experiencing some symptoms. So after several weeks, this officer came home one day, and his boy came running up to him, and he saw blood running down his boy's face, which wasn't there, you know, phantom blood. And, you know, he's trying not to see that, and it doesn't go away. And he sees blood on the dinner table and, you know, in the food and on his plate while he's eating. He sees blood pooling around his wife's head while she's sleeping. And this went on day after day after day. And the officer thought he was losing his mind. And the more he tried to not see that, the more intense those images were. And someone from his peer support team at San Diego said, "Hey, go see the police psychologist. Try this therapy called EMDR." And he did, and he said he only went twice, and he never saw phantom blood again. So that's just tremendously powerful. You know, who knows what would have happened to that officer, or if he would have been able to even keep working eventually. So there really are effective treatments out there. And, you know, if we feel we need help, or if we've been told by a colleague or a loved one that we need help, you know, do the courageous thing and reach out there and get the help so you can be the very best for your family and for your brothers and sisters there on the agency.
Yeah, I can't overemphasize how powerful that is. And the very last thing you said, I think, is one of the most important things for people to hear, is that in any kind of treatment, whether you're talking about a physical wound or an emotional wound, the sooner you get first aid, the better off you are. And yet it is our tendency to put off and procrastinate and think we can handle it and think that we can, you know, compensate for it. And frequently that is not a good strategy at all. It's going to probably allow things to compound and they will catch up with you eventually. So we need to be asking for help sooner, and our peers need to be helping us get that help and not making fun or creating jokes or even bullying fellow officers into trying to toughen up.
Exactly, because you know, trying to toughen up and you know, rub some dirt on it and say, hey, I'll be okay, doesn't work. That's why we're losing almost 200 cops to suicide year in and year out.
Well, thank you for sharing that. What else? What other nuggets from the book would you like to share with us?
Well, I'd like to just to give a couple. I said there's over 40 emotional survival and wellness strategies in the book. Just a couple of them briefly I can talk about.
Sure.
Is one thing that's really important for officers to remember is that, you know, when we're hurting inside, we tend to become very self-centered and just focused on our own pain and like it's all about us. And we kind of expect so much from the people around us to do all this stuff for us. Well, you're always going to be disappointed with that. And it can be really helpful and healing to focus on what other people need from us and focus on fulfilling that need. So, you know, when we wake up every day, I like to think of, you know, what does my wife need of me today? What do my sons need me to be and to do? What's my chief need of me today, or a member of the community who calls for the police? And if you're focused on fulfilling then what others need from you, that is just naturally very healing, and it gives meaning and purpose to your work, to your daily activities, and to your life. And that can be very profound with helping you not feel just so so much hurting inside or helpless. And another thing I like to talk about is when we become cops, we tend to get just consumed by the job, not only the stress and everything of it, but it's just such a great job, and we love it. We think about it. At least I did all the time when I was a detective. You know, you're thinking about your cases and everything. And we tend to stop doing the things that really breathe life into our spirit before we became an officer. And we really have to take a hard look at ourselves and stay connected with the person we were before we became a first responder, and do those things that made us feel alive, that we looked forward to waking up to do. It's not all about the job. We can't identify ourselves with the job. It's just a job we happen to temporarily do until we retire. Our whole life is about our relationships, you know, outside of work, what breathes life and meaning to our spirit.
Great stuff. Thank you. So I'm on your website right now at firstresponderwellness.com, and let's talk a little bit about what you're doing now. What does the future hold for you? Tell us about your training.
Well, I retired in late December because I was just getting too busy with the training and the book to keep working at the department. So since then, I've been traveling around providing a four-hour emotional survival class based upon the information in the book. I've recently been to Kansas, and we'll be going out to Michigan in a couple weeks to provide that training to several agencies. And the FBI National Academy Associates just booked me to be up in Seattle in July to do a couple of the classes on the same thing. So, you know, there's a great need out there that's recognized. And you know, I'm just one of several people, Kevin Gilmartin and Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman and others that are out there trying to provide this essential spiritual survival strategies and awareness that's going to keep our officers safe and well.
Good job. Thank you very much for what you're doing. I certainly appreciate it. I know all those that you've touched appreciate it. I think you're truly making a difference. So, you know, kudos to you for that. Tell us how people can get the book. Tell us how to contact you. What other information do we need to know?
The best way for all of that, to either get a copy of the book or download it or to contact me or to see about the training class, is just go to firstresponderwellness.com. That'll have all the information there.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Dan. I just said it, you know, the book is Bulletproof Spirit. The website is First Responder Wellness. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for reaching out to people with training. Thank you for making the book available to them. Thank you for your 26 years of service. You are making our profession a better place, and you're truly paying it forward. And so my hat's off to you, Dan. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, John. I appreciate it.
All right. Our guest today has been retired Captain Dan Willis from the La Mesa Police Department. You just heard, author of Bulletproof Spirit. You can find him on his website at www.firstresponderwellness.com. This has been another edition of Cops Alive Audio Bulletin. I thank you for listening, and I look forward to talking to you again. Stay safe and stay well.